I don't know what it was like for you to grow up. I would think most people probably had a pretty normal, what you call normal, existence. I mean, you know, there might have been, certainly no family's perfect. Let's put it that way. And by any means, ours was not. But as far as, you know, believing in things and, you know, we had some strange things happen. But, and my mom was always so open to all of it and gave her theories and would sit there and talk to my brother and I at night. And we would just gobble it up and go, wow, that's interesting. This is really cool. And it was always positive. It was never down a negative road. And so for us, that was the little bit of it that we got. Oh, I'd like to see a UFO someday, Mom. And, oh, yeah, I'd like to. And or talk about ghosts. What are ghosts, Mom? What do you think that is? Well, my next guest today is going to be somebody that lived a life that probably most people do not. He grew up in a home where it was commonplace to have strange things happen, or at least be around them. And his mom, truly an incredible woman as far as being able to accomplish and do things that a lot of people would not be able to do. And why is that? That some can do that and some can't. I would say my only answer for that is they choose to. That's about all I can say. I have no other way or answer that could fit that category. Why does God say you have this ability and you don't? Too bad. Tough luck. Where I think it's more of a choice. And that's just my own personal belief. But Dan is a very good friend of mine. He's a very humble, down-to-earth man. And he just speaks from his heart. And that's what I like about him. He's not an author. He's not well-known. You know, this show is going to just deal with regular people. You know, that's what I really love doing with the most, who tell their story. So I hope you find it interesting. It's a life that's a little different than maybe what some of you are used to.
Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Well, it's an interview with somebody that I have talked to before. We talk a lot, especially off the air. Or we've been friends for a while now. My friend Dan, who lives out in the neck of the woods. Let's put it that way. He's a country guy, just like me. And we've known each other for a while, I guess. Somehow we got connected through golfing, and then this led to other stories. And how did we ever start talking about some of the weird stuff, you know? How'd that ever happen?
I think you had mentioned, what had happened to you camping one time.
Oh, yeah, with the lantern, you think?
Was yeah, that I think that was the story that got it all going.
And then it's funny how you shared some of the strange things. But, you know, you had a childhood, I don't know if this is a way to term it, but I would call it an occult childhood in many ways, because you were exposed to the Ouija board and spirits doing strange things, and you thought it was pretty normal, didn't you?
Yeah, when you're real young, I mean, I'm talking second grade, third grade, I guess it's, you almost look at it as just a part of growing up.
Yeah, and don't you think it was, in a way?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it didn't bother me so much. There wasn't enough that really scared me, but it was just unusual, you know. And that in itself isn't enough to make a guy get too scared, you know, I mean.
Now, you've had these strange things have happened. Have you tried to explore and find answers to what they are?
Oh, yeah, I spent a lot of years now, you know, reading on the subjects and talking to other relatives.
And do they scare you as much, or, I mean, because you've learned about them, have they?
No, I don't, none of that stuff really bothers me now. I mean, I guess as I was I got a little older, maybe 9, 10, 11 years old, then I think that's when my mom realized it was scaring us kids, and she kind of got away from it. You
know? What kind of things, just to recap a little bit, because we talked about this, what kind of things would happen? Do you remember offhand?
Oh, yeah, we had a aunt that we used to go visit down by Wisconsin Dells, and And I think that's where a lot of things started happening. Or my mom really took interest in it after visiting my aunt. And, you know, I mean, we had situations where we're all sitting downstairs and there'd be a knock upstairs. And I can remember specifically my dad, you know, he was a skeptic. And he wanted to know what that was all about. Well, sooner or later, it was basically a conversation with a spirit.
Really?
And, I mean, it was a, like person-to-person talking to him. I mean, you couldn't see him, but they would answer you by knocking.
Mm. And you were able to just decipher that it was an actual, they were answering yes and no and so forth, right?
Yeah, it was basic questions that the family would ask the spirits, and they would rap. And it sounded like it was coming from upstairs, and you know that, you know, that could be explained away with a lot of things. You know, if somebody is trying to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad was upset, and he went upstairs and basically went through the upstairs because he said someone's got to be hiding in a closet, and he didn't find anybody. And after that, he kind of
did he change his tune?
Well, he was pretty quiet about it, you know.
He never talked much about it before. Why do you think that your mom and your aunt had such an interest in this kind of thing?
That's a tough question. I don't know why they were interested in it. I mean, if anybody does dig into it a little bit, it really does arouse a curiosity.
You know, what's the? You know, I always think it's like, we want to know.
Yeah.
We want to know what the unknown, we want answers to life. Does it go on? I think that's the biggest answer we all ask, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, everybody, I think, has at least a little interest in what's on the other side.
You would think so, because sooner or later, time's going to run out.
Yeah, we're going to eventually have a first-hand experience.
And it's like, maybe I should learn a little bit what's going on the other side over there.
Yeah.
Before I eventually get there. And, you know, you hear so many different stories, I'm sure you have over the years. So, basically, these spirits that your aunt would contact, and your mom, right?
Yeah.
Were they just people that had passed on? That were just kind of hanging around, or what do you think it was?
Well, that's the tough part of it is I don't remember the specifics. You know, I was so young. It was first, second grade, I think, when we visited down there. And but, you know, through my mom, I got more answers, you know, where they would talk about the town itself, that they've been in the town for, you know, I forget the exact dates they use and all that, but they were residents in that town. I don't know if it was necessarily that house. And because usually you hear those stories and it's about a spirit that used to live there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my mom would tell me stories about how she would stay overnight. She started going up there with her girlfriends before she was married. And they would sleep in a almost like a den downstairs. And then one morning she woke up and she seen somebody reading a newspaper at the table. And she got up and she went out to the kitchen and then she's asking, is that you, Uncle Bert, or, you know, questions like that, and nobody would answer. And then when she got up to the kitchen table, she pulled back the paper and the paper fell to the ground. So, you know, it's things like that. Those are the types of things when I heard when I was little that kind of spooked me. But it seemed like it all happened more to my mom than anybody else.
So, you know, you and I have talked about this, Dan, and I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but I'm always very inquisitive, and I wonder what people think and feel, and that's the only way I've ever grown and learned things in life, by asking questions and trying to keep an open mind. I know that's how I've developed. And so, you have a certain type of upbringing, a religious upbringing. Does this conflict with that?
Yeah, well, the religious upbringing, I guess I wouldn't really call it that. My mom would talk about God because I think she really felt a lot of these things were brought upon by God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then as I got older, you know, I married into a family that was very, I guess you'd say, quote, religious. And they attended church quite regularly, and then I got a different side of it, where it was, where the church more or less felt it was more demonic.
Mm.
And not good, but so I guess my experience with it was as I got older, and then I started reading about it and trying to find out for myself.
And what do you think about it now?
To be honest, anything that we have experienced as kids never harmed us,
mm-hmm.
and that's what keeps me from saying outright that I believe it's demonic.
So what do you think these were? Were these just people that passed on and were communicating with you?
I guess I lean that way more now, that I feel that these were just, they're just spirits that, like you say, it could have been somebody that lived in the place or a family member trying to contact you. And because that was part of my mom's experiences, was she had a lot of out-of-body experiences, that she, that's what she called them.
She had out-of-body experiences. Did she describe those?
Oh, yeah. She would talk about how she would go to another town. She says she didn't even recognize it, and help somebody. And I don't remember what the situations were, you know. But she always talked about how she helped somebody. And that's one of those things, too, that, I mean, how do you dig into that to find evidence?
You know, there was, I don't know if you ever heard of this before. I mentioned this before on the show. There's a fellow by the name of Robert Monroe who lived, well, he, I think he passed away in the early 70s, but he had a lot of out-of-body experiences. He wrote several books. There even is a place, I think it's out west, called the Monroe Institute that still exists to this day, where they did actual experiments.
Oh, okay.
Because he was so advanced, Robert Monroe, that he could leave at will. And then he would come back, and they would do, like, scientific experiments to see if he could, you know, pinch somebody, and they would feel it. And according to what their research, he was able to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he traveled to different locations. And he talked about something similar to what your mom said, that he traveled to this place, but it was slightly different than here. And he saw people that he knew, somehow knew, and he interacted with them and did things with them.
Okay.
And then he would come back.
Yeah.
And so, and he said there was another place you go where it's like these different levels, is the best way I could describe it. Mm-hmm. And this one place you go, wherever you go, everything you think happens immediately. So you got to be careful when you pass through this place.
Oh, really?
And when I was a kid, and I don't know if I ever told you this, when I was maybe 8 years old, somewhere around there, second or third grade, I had this really vivid dream, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't a dream. And I was floating in the clouds. It seemed like clouds. And I heard these beings talking. And I thought, well, they must be angels. I must be up in heaven. I'm floating up in heaven. That was my view of it, because I was brought up with kind of a Lutheran background, but yet very open-minded to a lot of things, you know.
Okay.
And then when I started to take notice of these beings, without saying anything, I was just thinking this. Then they started noticing me, and they started making some comments. And I don't remember exactly what they said, but I wasn't comfortable with those comments.
Okay.
It was almost like they were kind of picking on me a little bit and making fun of me a little bit. And so I thought, I'm getting out of here. And I had the ability, and I always have, to get out of my dreams or whatever I'm doing. I just focus and move on. Well, I remember falling back to earth. And as I'm doing that, they're grabbing me. And one of them pinched me really, really hard. Right on my, I think it was my right butt cheek.
And, oh, yeah.
And I woke up. Eventually, I like popped out of it. And my butt hurt for like a good hour afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, did I do that to myself when I'm sleeping? Mm-hmm. Or did somebody else do that to me? And so I really believe, at the time, I believed that it was, you know, I did it to myself. But, you know, I just thought, no, wait a second. No, this was so vivid. And since I've had these kind of things happen throughout my life, it made me realize that maybe it wasn't just a dream. You know, maybe it was something more. And I can understand where your mom said that she may have left and went and saw other people. So we're going to take a break. My friend Dan is on the phone, my golfing buddy. Is on the phone with me today, and we'll be back shortly on Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There. Out There.
You know what's interesting about this interview? Coming up soon, you're going to hear my friend Dan talk about some strange things that started happening in their home, and it led his mother to stop investigating and dealing with the occult or talking to the dead, communicating with them, and they just got frightened and at the time, during this interview, we're speculating that maybe it was something else. But to me, now that I think about it, this almost sounds like he might have been abducted. I don't know. But anyway, Dan's a good friend of mine, and we just we connect. And I think partly because I think he's just a real down-to-earth, honest individual that I can trust. Those are the type of people I connect with. And coming up soon, I'm going to be talking to Lisa Scheel. That'll be my next interview. And she's writing a new book. And she's just told me briefly what it's about. But it's about, she believes that maybe there is some facts that have been distorted as far as what's really taking place with the human species. I really don't know much other than that. So we'll find out more about that. But it sounds interesting because she's been doing a lot of research. So that's coming up next week on Out There.
It's Out There. Out There. Out There. Out
There. My guest is Dan, and I'm just going to leave it at that because, I don't want people to take any heat. Do you think you'd take any heat if we gave out your name and everything like that, Dan?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think most people that know me well enough know that.
You talk about these kind of things?
Yeah, they know our family had these experiences.
You know, and, well, just out of respect, Dan, he lives in a place called Kearney, Michigan, which is about, I don't know how far that is, 20 miles maybe from where I live.
Okay, yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yep.
And we both have gotten to know each other over the years, and I work at the radio station. He's called in to win prizes. And so on and so forth. We developed a friendship. But you know, your mom had some abilities. Do you see that she had some abilities that not everybody had?
Yeah, there was definitely something different about her. I mean, it's almost like she was given a golden key to the things that happen on the other side, you know?
Do you think it's a gift? Do you think it's a special thing? Do you think it's something that shouldn't be looked down on? Maybe something that should be embraced?
Yeah, it's I guess there's so many sides to that, but like I said earlier, where, you know, as I got older, it seemed like things were scaring us as kids.
Right. You didn't understand them.
Yeah, I mean, we had, and this is the hardest thing I ever tried to explain to anybody, but when, about the time my mom started getting away from that stuff, we were having some bad experiences.
Oh, you're starting to get some of those.
And I don't know how other to explain it. I mean, it was as if there were spirits in our house.
Mm.
And this is the house where I think we had talked about last time on your show, where my mother knew right away when we went in there that there were spirits there.
Mm.
She was, you know, there's some things that happened. And anyway, that house, which is only a few miles from here, where I live now, we were used to, when we were in bed at night, it was almost as if there was pressure, literal pressure on me when I was sleeping. It felt like someone was laying on me.
No kidding. Now, this is something you noticed when you just woke up, or did this happen? I mean, were you awake for a while? How did this come about?
No, it usually happened during the night, you know, after I'd gone to sleep.
So you would wake up and you'd feel this pressure. Is that correct?
Yeah, and
but it was always after you woke up. Is that part of it?
Yeah, it never happened when you first went to bed. It seemed like it happened in the middle of the night.
So there could be a couple of explanations for that. Yeah. Now, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, and I can't explain it other than a pressure feeling on you.
Right.
And
I've been through that too.
And you just felt something was wrong.
And part of it could be, and I don't know if you've ever heard this explanation before. Now, it certainly could have been some other beings, right, around you.
Yeah.
But part of the experience, you talked about your mom having an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Part of that experience, because I went through this as a kid, and I can remember at least a dozen times, and I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I would wake up and the whole room was vibrating, and I felt some of that pressure, like you said.
Yeah.
And it was explained to me years later that that's part of an out-of-body experience.
Really?
You're just returning, and what you're remembering maybe is that you're just getting back. You don't remember the journey.
Yeah.
Your mom had the ability to remember it. Now, it may have been spirits like you say, but it also could have been, from everything I've studied about out-of-body experiences, that you might have just been returning back or getting ready to take off.
Yeah.
And again, if you look at the Monroe Institute studies and what that man talked about, he went through a similar thing. Yeah. Do you think that's possible? It could have been something like that, or are you pretty sure it was a spirit?
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to try to grasp something like that, mm-hmm. and what's happening to you, because it's so unusual.
But and it scares you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So usually you don't investigate any further. And then when you do, like I've done, you know, and you've done a little bit, it's like you start to look around a bit and realize other people have had the same thing.
Yeah.
And then when you get past the fear, you go, well, maybe this isn't such a bad thing. Or maybe there are some angry spirits, yeah. and it's time to move. So well, how did you guys deal with that then? How did you cleanse that or get rid of that?
Well, my mom actually just kind of cut things off. She wouldn't do any, like, the Ouija board or, you know, she used to do things like we had discussed last time where she would take items like a watch from a friend that was an old watch of their grandfather's or something that wouldn't work, and she'd hold it in her hands and it would work again.
That's amazing.
And she did things like that. She just started to eliminate. I mean, she wasn't doing that and practicing it no more. And, you know, what really kicked it off was my mom came upstairs one time, you know, because we were talking about this stuff happening. And she came upstairs in the middle of the night and found me underneath one of my siblings' beds.
Really?
And
what were you doing under there?
I don't remember going there.
Somehow you think you got placed there?
That's one of those questions I don't know if I'll ever
figure it out.
For, but there have been other occasions where I never remember going underneath the bed. But I always, when I did wake up, I thought, how did I get here? You know, it was always during the night, and I don't know if I was sleepwalking and went under a bed because I was nervous or scared. But sometimes I wake up under my own bed, but a lot of times I'd be under the beds of my siblings. I don't know if it's a protection thing. I mean, I was the oldest, so it didn't make sense.
You weren't protecting anybody there.
Yeah.
Just yourself under the bed.
And I think that scared my mom because I told her I don't remember going in there. So she started getting nervous about some things. And that's
when she started to
get away from it.
Yeah, stop. It's too bad, I think. I mean, maybe you see thinking, I'm not trying to put any kind of truth on it, but you know, people, I think, have this ability, and then fear or judgment, or in this case, I guess, you know, it's justified, you're a little worried. But a lot of times people are afraid to move forward because others will chastise them or they'll say that it's the work of something evil.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how do they know?
Yeah.
How do they know?
Well, that's why I think my dad might have been a part of that, you know, putting a kibosh to all that, because he was not... I don't know that he was a skeptic after a lot of things happened, but it made him a lot more nervous and apprehensive, and I think he was a big part of it. You know, he probably laid down the law with my mom or something.
Now, what was it that one time you said you guys were driving home and your mom knew to stop the car? What was that?
Yeah, we were coming back from, like, from your way anyway, up by Powers. We were heading back towards Kearney, and I had to be a little older because I remember this real easy. Maybe I was 5th, 6th, 7th grade or something. But anyway, I remember my mom just saying, stop the car, to my dad. And he's like, why? And she said, just stop it. And she got out and looked up, and almost like above the car, but, you know, towards the heavens, looked up and knew there was a UFO up there. And she said, come look at this. And we all got out the car and we're looking up. And it wasn't just like a Sputnik light going across the sky. Mm-hmm. There was two distinct lights, but they looked like they were up in space, and they were coming together. And you know how hard it is even to spot stuff up there half the time. But she knew right where to look. And these two lights, when we got out, we seen them coming together, and then they stopped. And then just as quick as they stopped, they turned around and went separate ways.
Were they going real fast, or was it kind of a slow...
Well, now, you know, like I said, now that I'm older and understand the law of gravity and speed and everything, it's just not humanly possible for any kind of aircraft to come close like that at that speed. And then,
how far away would you say they were?
Well, they had to be up in space. We couldn't make out that they were.
I mean, was it like a speck of light, or was it something?
Yeah, it looked almost like you'd see a shooting star.
Okay.
That, you know, it was
so
far
it was quite
away.
Quite a ways away.
Yeah, there was no...
Did they do any zigzagging, or did they look like they were moving at a high rate of speed?
Oh, yeah. To me, it looked almost like you see how sometimes you can see a satellite going up there.
Right.
Or like I seen the space shuttle one time go over. I mean, you know, this is definitely higher speeds and
definitely higher speed than that.
Oh yeah, they were going fast together, and then and stop on a dime, and then turn around and just go back the same directions as they went or came from almost.
And you guys weren't all drinking that night?
No. And you know, my dad, I can remember looking at my dad. You know, you always look to him for, I don't know, confirmation or
right.
What, but
right.
He just shook his head and got in the car. You know, because he was used to it.
Yeah, he was probably, and he didn't know what to think of it. We're going to take a break. My friend Dan is on the phone with me, and we'll continue more on Out There.
Out there.
I don't know if any of you ask a question, why does he do these shows? Well, I've had so much happen, and I know so many other people that things have happened to that I just feel I've had this burning, not itch, no. I've had this desire to bring this stuff forward. And it's almost like an invisible force has been pushing me to do this the last few years. So this is why it's coming forward. And I think, like I've stated before, the more that we talk about these things, maybe we find some things out. And maybe we realize there's a lot of people that have had a lot of things happen. And they can't all be making it up or can't all be maybe explained away. Anyway, hope you enjoy the show. You can find it at outthere.podbean.com. That's outthere.podbean.com if you got this as a download. Or you can also go to www.braverinstitute.com. And I really thank you for listening.
It's out there.
My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. We're talking about occult experiences. I don't know why they call it that. To me, it's part of paranormal. Sometimes if you put the word occult on something, people brand it. And I used to look at it this way, too, as some kind of demonic or negative thing. Honestly speaking, Dan, between you and I don't really believe in that so much, the demonic. There are good spirits and bad spirits, just like I think, this is my opinion, that there are on Earth. And you become that. You carry that over once you've moved on.
Okay.
So I don't live in fear of that. I respect those because I don't want them giving me stuff neither. I'm not going to go messing with that. But I don't know. It doesn't. I don't worry about it. And I respect people. I've seen people work with this stuff before. And I think if they know what they're doing, like you educate yourself on anything, it's not something you have to live in fear of. You know, the people I've talked to, a lot of them on my show, have said, you've got to surround yourself with white light. Did your mom do that? Protect yourself?
I can remember talking about that, but I think at that time, I don't know that she understood it.
Completely?
She was just kind of
dabbling into that a lot, right?
Yeah.
Now, when did your mom pass away?
Boy, now you're going to make me think. It was 4 years ago.
Now, do you really miss her? Do you still have a connection?
No, There was a connection, I guess you'd call it, before she died. It was about a month before she died where I really felt she appeared to me.
Mm.
And was in our house at the time she was living in Racine, south of Milwaukee. But
you told me about that before.
Yeah.
And she kind of, what did she tell you in that?
She didn't say anything.
You just saw?
To me it seemed like she appeared in our bedroom, and I can remember waking up. You know how you see it on the movies, they wake up in a cold sweat.
Right.
Or I sat right up in bed, and I mean, I was awake, my eyes bang. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, what the heck was that? And my wife thinks it was a dream. She didn't, you know, she remembers me waking her up or, you know, sitting up in bed. She remembers that part, but she didn't see nothing. So.
Mm.
And my mom, I remember my mom looked really bad, and I thought, what the heck?
Didn't you sense that it maybe was her way of saying goodbye? Did you sense that at the time?
Well, I knew she was sick, and I knew her time was short, so I thought, well, maybe, you know, she was just letting me know that it's going to happen. I mean, maybe she knew. I don't know. She never would come out and say she knew, well, I'm going to die this week or anything like that, but, you know, maybe just her way of connecting with me on that level she used to have.
Do you feel that she's tried to communicate since she passed away?
I have not experienced nothing, you know, that would indicate that.
Yeah. Okay, that you can recall.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she did and you were in the middle of a dream and you don't quite remember it. You know, so that's, to me, it's always a gray area because there are things that happen, and if you don't always write them down sometimes.
Well, I have had, you know, when I was a kid, it stopped. All that stuff stopped when I was, like I said, maybe sixth grade, right in there, seventh mm-hmm. grade. But then when we first built our house here, I had a few times when I felt a little pressure. And it wasn't nothing like when I was a kid, but, you know, it always makes you wonder, is something going to happen? And I actually would stay awake till 12 or 1 in the morning and laying in bed because I thought something was going to happen.
You know? So you thought the pressure was like a spirit?
Yeah, so that was how I identified pressure, was another spirit being. And I was more concerned with anything like that starting up again with my own kids in the house.
And right.
I'm glad.
And is it possible that maybe you carried on, you know, people, they say psychic abilities are passed down.
Yeah.
Within the family.
Yeah.
And so maybe you have some abilities that you're not aware of. Maybe you were experiencing, like I said, a possible early stages of an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an experience.
Or returning back from an out-of-body experience. I've had a few out-of-body experiences, one that was extremely vivid, and I think I told you about that before, but I was laying on a couch and I was really relaxed. I think you got to be really, really relaxed. And a bunch of them when I was a little kid, I remember the whole room vibrating, but I don't remember the experience. But this one I do, and this was in 92, and I had the flu, but I was feeling better, but I was just so tired and so peaceful and so happy and just relaxed, and I was looking around the room, and I noticed that I'm laying on the couch, and I look down beneath me, and there's my left arm and my left leg dangling out beneath my body.
Oh.
It's like my body's like 4 or 5 inches up in the air, and down below me is another body. And I'm thinking, well, how's that down below me?
Huh.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's me. And so I said, wow, this is weird. And when I said that, now here I think I'm floating up like a few inches above. That's when I said it. And the voice came from the body that was on the couch that was lying down beneath me. And when I heard that, boom, in an instant, I was back. It was only a few inches, but I was back in that body beneath.
Oh, okay.
And the upper body disappeared. And so I can understand, again, it could be, certainly could be some kind of spirit, but I can understand the pressure part of it. That seems to go hand in hand when you have those kind of experiences. And I don't know why that is. Now, some people will call it as also paralysis. It's like a sleeping paralysis. And it's the mind playing some kind of trick on you. I don't really buy that. I know that's an excuse, a scientific excuse that they use, that it's called sleep paralysis.
Okay, yeah.
You heard of that?
Yep.
And maybe in some cases, maybe that's possible, but I know when I'm awake, just like you knew, right? You knew when you were awake.
Yeah, because all the years I've never once sat up in bed like that.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm dreaming, I'm falling, or anything like that. So I know something was different there. So
I'm saying, do you have this connection with your mom? I mean, is there times that you really, really miss her?
Yeah, there's, for some strange reasons, there's be times when you think of her out of nowhere. And but, it, you know, it actually happens more with my father, because we weren't very close.
Mm-hmm.
I think I, you know, deep down, I miss him more and think about him more than my mom. My mom and me were real close. So.
And nothing unusual that
no.
you can think of has ever happened, even regarding your dad.
No, and that's kind of unusual, being, you know, that with what my mom did, you know, how the things that she did. I thought for sure that when she died, that maybe she would try to contact me or something like that would happen, but I've never had any experience.
Do you wish to pursue that? Would you like to?
You know, I really don't have that desire to pursue it. Yeah.
Okay. You're happy with the way it is right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I mean, everybody would love to talk to their loved ones again, but I don't actively pursue it.
So where do you think they are?
I think they're in heaven.
And what do you think heaven is? Is there like harps and angels and clouds and puffiness and?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, anything I would base off, you know, how to describe heaven would be out of the Bible. You know, what things I've read in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I remember hearing a quote one time from Billy Graham that, you know, he has a real weird understanding of heaven or what he hopes to see when he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how he would like to have a huge lazy boy and a big TV and a remote control, and he could go into time, back in time, any time throughout human history and see it on a TV.
Mm.
And he says he thinks it's going to be things like that that, you know, a lot of people don't talk about. Most people, you know, talk about tarps and clouds.
Isn't that interesting? Billy Graham saying that? Isn't that interesting?
I really thought that was odd that somebody like Billy Graham would say that. And I think after I read that, I remember thinking, you know, he's probably hit the tip of the iceberg with that. There's probably going to be things like that. That
it could be just about anything, couldn't it?
We could do anything, yeah. And I think that would be great to maybe see when you were younger, playing in the yard with your sister, or things mm-hmm. that you don't remember when you're 2 or 3 years old. I think things like that are we're going to be at that next level where we're going to be have the ability to see things like that. And that's what I hope.
You know, we're running out of time here, Dan. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I've read a fair amount about this, and I've heard people talk about it. Almost kind of like what you're talking about. There are some that believe when we pass, we head to the light, right? You've heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
And before you get to the light, you go through what's called a life review. And it's panoramic. It's all around you. And
okay.
you see in an instant everything you did in your life.
Yep.
And how you hurt others and how they hurt you. And it's a great learning experience. And that's what it's there to do, is to
yeah.
teach. And it's similar to what you're saying. And you're able to review, and the people that have had near-death experiences say it happens just in a moment. It's so quickly, but yet you can grasp all of it in. You take all of it in.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Who's to say what really is going on the other side? Maybe you want to be a guinea pig and try it and let me know. Would you do that for me, Dan?
Yeah, well, that's the closest thing we have is people that have, you know,
been there
flatlined for 7-8 minutes.
And been gone, and then they come back, and you know, and they try to prove these people wrong. Science continually tries to make these people look like idiots, and sometimes it might just be something that their mind, but they're able to describe things going on in the room that there's no way they should know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or people have described, well, like my dad, my own dad, when he was out of it in a kind of almost like in a coma state. He was in and out a lot. You know, he was on serious drugs because he had cancer. And I found this story out only a few years ago, and he died in 84. So that's how long it took for this story to surface. But when he was in one of those states where he's on heavy drugs, morphine, his two sisters went outside, my aunts, and they were talking about him. And he apparently went out and listened to him. And when they came back in, he was slowly coming out of this drug state, and he started talking to him again. And this is, of course, towards the end. He didn't have much longer to live. And he said, I heard you guys talking about me. And their response was something to the effect of, well, how could you? We were outside. He goes, yeah, I know. I was up on the flagpole. I heard everything.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah. It makes you almost wonder what goes on that last, you know, little bit of time you have left.
Well, it's kind of like your mom's out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what he did. He was free.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to go and hear some things that were said about him. And not bad things, just concern. And then he was able to probably shock the hell out of my aunts.
Yeah, they probably look over their shoulder when you're talking again.
Exactly. Makes you think twice, doesn't it? Thank you very much, Dan, for being a part of this show. And again, I appreciate your honesty and the ability, you know, that you're willing to share this.
Yeah, no problem.
You have a wonderful day.
Okay, TJ.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.